Well, I'm actually taking a reprieve from teaching today. Actually, what we usually do is in our foundational studies, we usually try to cycle through leadership a couple of times. So that way then everybody on our leadership team gets to teach every now and then. So that way you guys don't just see me every week in my 40-minute lessons. So today, Josiah, our worship leader, that's why Amy's here, because I don't want Josiah running dual things, doing worship and then leading them. So Josiah is actually our worship leader. And a couple of months back when we started talking about teaching opportunities and doing the foundational studies, he actually approached me about teaching a study. And so we booked it, and he's been eager. He's ready to do this. And so I'm excited for him to do this. He wanted me to record it, so I'm recording. That we have proof to his family that he did this. No, I'm just teasing. So if you guys wouldn't mind welcoming along with me one of our own, Josiah Torres.
Right. Make sure all your cell phones are silenced. I know I silenced mine. I'm going to leave this to time myself. Make sure I don't go over. All right. Of course, the topic today is 3-in-1, which I actually didn't tell Alex any message or any... The topic is a Trinity, but I didn't tell him any title. So thank you, Alex. It's, we'll start off with a word of prayer. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege we have to be worshiping you, Lord, in this campus, Lord. I thank you for the wonderful worship that you led Amy to lead us through, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to use her as a tool for you. I pray that you would just bless us with this message today, Lord, from your word. I pray that you would give me the words to speak, Lord, and with the right attitude, Lord God, and the right mindset. And I pray that they would be your words and not mine, and that you'll bless us all, Lord, and help us to go fired up for your word, Lord God, and for your ministry to go out and proclaiming Christ to all that we can. And I pray that you would just bless the study. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Josiah Torres. I'm actually the Campus Crusade for Christ worship leader. I have been since, I don't know, years back, before Alex was born. But for a while. And I've been here, actually, at BBC here for a while, too. Like Alex, I've graduated. Yeah, we're old guard. But I graduated with my AA in Fine Arts last June, and my major's music. But anyways, that's a little bit of background. And I'll tell you, I'm a little bit familiar with leading Bible studies. I've led a Christian club once, one Bible study a couple years back. I led a Christmas study. And I believe I was for a Christmas Bible study. But anyways, I have also led Bible studies for Awana at scholarship camp for high schoolers. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Awana, Awana is actually, I was a counselor at Awana camp, but for those of you unfamiliar, Awana is a church-oriented group. It's comparable to a church youth group, but better, I say. It's actually a program where kids from the age of 3 years old, actually preschool, all the way through high school, can go to church, memorize Bible verses, and participate in competitions. Actually, the high school program that was the one that I mainly focused on was the best program, because you could compete in programs such as Bible quizzing and Awana games, which is athletics. I graduated from that program some years back with my citation. It's the highest award you can receive in Awana. It's significant for studying and participating in Awana for 12 years. Equivalent to memorizing 1/6 of the Bible. So I'm like, yes, congratulations. So I have a lot of the Bible memorized. I don't let it get up here, though. I want it to be, you know, from God. That's why you may see me a couple of times mouthing off when Alex is up here giving the message. He'll be giving the Bible study, and he'll say certain verses, and I'll be like, yeah, mouthing it off. But actually, some Christian colleges acknowledge the Awana program and offer scholarships for the Citation Award. So when you go home after this message, you might want to Google Awana or search it up for the Citation Award, because I knew one of my friends went through the program, got the citation, and he got like a $4,000 scholarship for some Virginia university, I think Liberty University. And it was first semester, so that was pretty good. But, okay, that's background about Awana, but I'm going to go back to our study. We are going to be learning about what the Trinity is, How many of you heard the word Trinity or heard the word Trinity used in the church where the pastors preached on the Trinity? All right, there's a couple that haven't. That's good. So it's sort of split, and okay, so that's good that some of you, most of you are familiar with it. Well, although the word Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible, we Christians still hold to the truth that God is triune. Now, what do I mean when I say triune? I mean that God is three distinct persons, but one God. Now, you may ask, how is that possible? Or you may ask, well, I don't quite understand what you mean. I'm going to lead you to verses in the Bible that talk about the Trinity. Now, there's only one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, there's only one God. The Father is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three distinct persons. Now, where is this found in the Bible? There are many verses that pertain to the Trinity. We are going to look up a lot of verses which back up the Trinity. So it's a good thing you won't be hearing me talk about mainly the Bible. First, is anyone thinking to themselves, why do I have to learn about the Trinity? Or why am I learning about this churchy stuff? Like, why is Josiah preaching to me? Well, first I'll tell you, I'm not a pastor, so you could clap your hands for that. but I'm trying to make this a topical Bible study as much as I can, and not a sermon. My dad is a pastor, actually. He used to, right now he's been off pastoring for a couple of years, but he used to preach at a church in Atlanta called Atlanta Community Church. I think one of the main reasons I didn't pursue to be a pastor is because I think most pastors aren't funny. And I think I would be telling too many jokes. I would suppose if I was a pastor, I would give an example. I would say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now that's all you need to know. Now you're ready to take on the atheist. Yeah, you're right. You know, the evolution, you could slam the ideology. You could just say, if they say whatever they say contradicts, you could say, well, Genesis 1:1. Now, of course, you know, it takes more than that to bring up, to slam the ideology of evolution. You have to bring up scientific facts and then slam their natural selection, artificial selection, and all that jazz. But anyway, back to our study. I think it is good for us to know a little bit more about who God is and who we are serving as Christians and why we say, in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of why we pray, instead of in God's name, amen. Have any of you ever noticed why we say, in Jesus' name, amen? Yeah, a couple of you. And then I think even one of my friends was saying that she was wondering, I just thought of that. Why do we say in Jesus' name, amen? Well, we are just simply emphasizing Jesus' place in the Trinity as God's Son. Well, I'm going to open up a passage, if you all would like to open up with me, to John chapter 10. We are going to be reading quite a bit of verses 23 through 38. All right, say amen when you're there. Amen. If you need Bibles, Michael will be passing that. It's a good thing we're going to be in the New Testament today, so I won't be scanning through the Old Testament. All right, John chapter 10, starting in verse 23. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will he keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And now when he had said this, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. If he called, okay. And do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Now here we see in these verses, through all this soul grip of the passage, Jesus, if you guys are unfamiliar, was God's Son. He came to earth in God's flesh, and he preached a ministry starting about the age of 30 and only lasted 3 years till he was about 33, till he was crucified on the cross. Now here he is proclaiming to be God, and he says right here, I and the Father are one. That's emphasizing Jesus' place in the Trinity. That's why I say God the Father, God the Son. Jesus is God. Now, we can find verses actually pertaining to the Trinity tracing back to all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. If you read the first book of Genesis, it says, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, why are we saying that it's emphasizing the Trinity? Well, because also, if we read, I'm going to read a couple of side verses right here in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm going to skip down to verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh. And now it emphasizes the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was God. So it's saying that Jesus is God. And you could also look up, this is going to be pertaining to the Trinity. The three persons in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, which states, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So if you notice in that verse, in Genesis 1:26, it says, God said, let us make man. So that's plural, let us. That's pertaining to the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we will find where the Holy Spirit comes into play. Now, a lot of my friends were questioning this one. I think even my mom was asking me. And even I blanked out on several verses that speak about the Holy Spirit and function with the Trinity. Now, I'm going to give some background on the first mentions of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Well, actually, background of the Holy Spirit, the first notable ones anyway, the Holy Spirit has been mentioned many times before in the Old Testament. I don't know if you remember in old times, before Christ, the Holy Spirit only descended on certain individuals who were called by God to either be, I put them in four categories, to either be godly kings, judges, priests, or prophets. And I hope I'm not missing any others that the Holy Spirit descended on, but I'm pretty sure those four cover the general idea of the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament. But now I'm stating where the Holy Spirit comes into play in the New Testament. Jesus mentions the coming of the Holy Spirit to descend upon believers upon Jesus' ascension. Jesus promised that if he left, he would leave a helper for the Christians. Here are three verses which speak about the helper or Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read them down. John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And John 15:26 states, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And John 16:7 says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If you would all open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, we are going to be reading verses 12, reading verses 2 and 9 through 12. Romans chapter 8. Alright, starting in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Now jumping down to verse 9 through 12. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, the body, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Sorry, we're not going to go over verse 12. But if we notice, we see here in this text, it demonstrates that the Holy Spirit has equality and is a very important part of the headship of God. The three main phrases that emphasize the Holy Trinity of God are these. We see that in verse 9, it states the Spirit of God. We also see later on in the same verse, it is quoted, the Spirit of Christ. If moving on to verse 11 of Romans chapter 8, the text mentions the Spirit of Him. That is emphasizing the Holy Spirit's part in the Trinity. You notice that it says the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Him. The Spirit of Him is mentioning the Holy Spirit. So this is emphasizing the Spirit's part in the Trinity. You see, all three parts of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are one, and together one God. Now here's I'm going to go a little side story. It demonstrates more of the Holy Spirit's part of the Trinity, but it also is a good example why not to lie to God. First of all, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption." This is basically saying that we shouldn't lie or be a bad example, be wrong testimonies for Christ. I know that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it doesn't mention all those sins in that one verse, but that is the general idea, basically. When we are sinning, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Well, I would definitely want to be in the position of these people. Is anybody familiar with the story of Ananias and Sapphira? A couple? Two? All right. Well, it's good that some of you aren't three. Maybe you might have heard the story in Sunday school, or when you go through the Bible, you might have read it in Acts. Well, we're going to go on to this story. I thought this was nice to go with a side note. The text begins in Acts chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." As he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you have agreed to put the Spirit of the Lord to test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well." And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Now, and it says also, "And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things." Now, I don't know, I would be afraid to lie to the Holy Spirit. And it says, also, this is the reason I said it's emphasizing the Holy Spirit, is because it says in verse 3, why Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. It also says in verse 4, "You have not lied to man, but to God." So again, it is emphasizing the Holy Spirit's part in the Trinity. Now, yeah, I know, this is getting you nervous. Yeah, I shouldn't lie. I mean, that makes me want to not sin at all. Well, of course, none of us are perfect. We go through our daily struggles. But I was just going to mention, I just love how I keep quoting and reading the Bible because that is my main goal. I would never want to hear myself speaking. I make too many jokes, and sometimes it's not funny. And I say just kidding a lot. But I just love the Word of God. It has so much application for our daily lives. I'm going to challenge you to study at least 30 minutes to an hour in the Bible each day, or go through the Bible in a year chronologically, or however you decide. Well, chronologically is just a big word to basically say for going from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end. I notice that when I read the Bible, my day is a lot more at ease. The Bible is a good source of comfort. And also, we need to be impacting this campus for Christ. How much better is it if we're better and we're constantly in God's Word? We'll be ready to spread the gospel. I know it might seem hard. Like, how many don't like confrontations? Yeah, everybody raises. I know. I admit, I haven't done my fair share. I don't like confrontations. But we need to be good witnesses and bold witnesses for Christ. We need to make disciples for God's kingdom. If you have friends, whether in your classes, from study groups, acquaintances, or family members that you know are unsaved, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul states in Romans 1:16. Another good idea I heard on Sunday from the church I attended for evening service, the pastor mentioned, us Christians need to be ambassadors for Christ. We need to be bold with the gospel. If any of us think we are unfit or too nervous to share, if we continue in God's Word and in daily prayer, the Holy Spirit will guide us with the words to say and the opportunities to make disciples. I heard this from another pastor that said, it was quoted from a pastor that I listened to, his name is Britt Merrick. He said, if we were to witness to one person, they were to be discipled for a year, and that one person were to witness to another person, be discipled, and so on, within about 35 to 40 years, the whole world will have heard the gospel. And that's just one person. Here's another good quotation that got me good. It was from Charles Spurgeon. He said, those we come into contact with and didn't preach the gospel will curse us for eternity. So yeah, that's a powerful statement. It makes you think, at time I was with that study group and was with that friends, you know, we were studying math, and you know how study groups usually are. We decide to study, and then gets off topic, or we'll study for a while. If it's at a friend's house, we'll say, well, let's say, this next show's coming on, American Idol, The Simpsons coming on, let's watch TV. You know, and then after, we're like, oh, do you watch it? And then we start speaking about stuff, or daily stuff in our lives. You know, we avoid saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Nobody wants to hear that, or we're scared, or we're ashamed of being a Christian. So yes, the point that Charles Spurgeon makes and says they will curse us for eternity is because it's true. Because if, let's say, the person were to go on and not live another day, they were to pass on, God forbid, and we had been in their contact and never witnessed to them, they will curse us for eternity. And I'm also going to bring up a demonstration. Here's a good demonstration that I heard. A person is drowning in the ocean, and you see them drowning, won't you? If you know how to swim, they don't. Wouldn't you want to risk your life and save them? If you know how to swim, you would want to save them, right? You wouldn't say, they're drowning. What are you going to say? God bless you. Yeah. Jesus will save you, or you pray for them. No. See, you have to go out and save them. Of course, have any of you ever noticed if someone's drowning, you know, they're frantic. They're moving their arms around, you know, and they're trying to get up for breath. What happens if you're trying to save them? They will try to pull you under, right? They'll try to even pull you under just so they could save themselves. Then you might have, bam, you might have to knock them out, right? To bring them out, bring them to their senses. It's just like, you know, the truth hurts, slamming the Word of God into them. But what if you punch them, will they...
Bible thumper.
Slam, the truth hurts. But if they were to come to their consciousness and everything, will they be mad at you for slamming them? No, they won't. Just like a person whom you've converted to Christianity, will they be mad at you if you slam them with the Word of God? No, they won't be. Because they would be thankful that you took that approach with that much diligence and that much urgency to say, to just sit down and talk with your friend and say, hey, my friend, you know you are lost. You need Christ's salvation. You need to put on Christ's righteousness, which will clear all your sin. You need the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to be inside you. So this is that is my main goal for us to be Campus Crusade for Christ. That is our goal, to just go out and just whenever you come in contact, just remember that today. When you go out, whenever you come in contact with somebody, just be ready with the gospel and to preach Christ. All right, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this message that you have given us, Lord. I just pray that we would take it to heart, and I pray that you would help us always to be ready, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15 through 17, to always be ready to give an offense to the hope that is in with us, with meekness and fear, and to always give an answer to anyone that asks us of the reason. So we must be always ready, Lord God, to tell people of your light in us, Lord. I pray that you would continue to work in us, Lord God, and mold us and make us for your purpose, Lord God. And I pray that, you know, a lot of us get distracted with school, Lord, but we always must remember that's not our primary focus, Lord. School is only temporary. Jobs right now in this economy are only temporary, Lord. I just pray that you would help us to remember we are living for you and just eagerly waiting for your return in hope of your kingdom. I pray you bless us all and bless our day. Keep us safe as we go on to whatever classes and jobs we are going on to. And I pray all these things in Christ's name, amen.